This is Sound Effect on 88.5 KNKX. I'm Gabriel Spitzer. Our theme this week is What Are the Odds? And I am now here in Concrete, Washington, in Skagit Valley, with Valerie Stafford. And Val, you operate something called the Ghost Walks on Saturdays in October. Give me, what are those exactly?
Yeah, the Concrete Ghost Walk has been going now for 12 years. And we come into the Concrete Theater, we do a little bit of introduction about the town itself, and then we go for a walking tour. And I tell them the stories that I've heard from business owners and residents who live here and believe that their houses and buildings are haunted.
So I'm going to ask you to kind of reenact a piece of that presentation, the part where you come to this very prominent historical wild coincidence that unfolded right here in Concrete.
So on October 30th, 1938, if you were listening to one of the two stations that you were able to get in Concrete, Washington, one of them was playing the Chase and Sanborn Hour, and it was the ventriloquist and his dummy, Charlie McCarthy. That's what a lot of people were listening to.
No. Why? Well, you've been telling entirely too many lies.
I don't actually lie, Mr. Durgan. I just transpose the truth into another key.
Yeah.
But a lot of other people were listening to CBS and the theater programs that they had been running them, and Orson Welles had done a number of them already. So there you were. It was 5 o'clock in the evening. You might have just finished dinner, and your family was gathered around the radio, and so you turned it on, and you heard the beginning of the War of the Worlds.
The Columbia Broadcasting System and its affiliated stations present Orson Welles and the Mercury Theater on the air in The War of the Worlds by H.G. Wells.
If you were not one of those people tuned into that station, let's say you were listening to the Charlie McCarthy program on the other station, a lot of people did what we do right now. Instead of channel surfing, it was radio dial spinning, and they went to the other station. So all of a sudden, you might have found yourself listening to the War of the Worlds program and not even know what that program was about.
Sleep and dreaming.
Yes?
I seen a kind of greenish streak and then zingo. Something smacked the ground. Knocked me clear out of my chair.
Well, were you frightened, Mr. Wilmot?
Well, I ain't quite sure. I reckon I was kind of riled.
Thank you, Mr. Wilmot. Thank you very much.
You want me to
No, that's quite all right. That's plenty. Ladies and gentlemen.
I would say that was about 30 minutes into the program. And so it's really getting bad. And this next little part is where Concrete, all 1,000 people could have been listening to this program or the other one, or, you know, some people weren't listening to the radio at all, but clearly there were a lot of people in town listening to it. And here's what they heard next, right before something very interesting happened in our town.
Private citizens and public officials, all of you, the urgent need of calm and resourceful action. Fortunately, this formidable enemy is still confined to a comparatively small area, and we may place our faith in the military forces to keep them there. In the meantime.
So that was about 40 minutes into the program. It was 5:40 in Concrete, Washington, and all of a sudden, there was this huge explosion, and one of our substations exploded. And all the lights went out. All the electricity was gone in Concrete. So people who were listening to the radio program, I mean, what would you think, right? And so they were fairly convinced that the Martians had landed, even though most of the things were on the East Coast. They still, I mean, how would you know? So the lights were out. You had nobody to communicate with. There were no other ways to talk with anybody. People were running out into the street. They were leaving their homes. They were getting in their cars. They were trying to get out of town. Some people reportedly just said, I'm just going to wait for them because there's no point. We're all going to die. But here on Main Street in Concrete, people were actually running into the street trying to figure out what was happening.
So a lot of the people didn't live right here in town. You said that they lived kind of out in scattered areas and stuff like that. So if people are kind of huddled around their radio, as folks did at that time, how do you imagine that would have felt and looked?
Here's what I heard happen with some people. some guys got their guns and decided they were going to go out into the street and shoot the Martians as they came into town. Other people, we understand that a lot of the guys went up into the woods to protect their moonshine stills. We heard a story of another man who was actually a minister in town who jumped into his car with his family, and he was determined to get to Bellingham where his priest was or something, that he was going to go and have all of his sins absolved. And so he went to the gas station and they wouldn't sell him gas, and he ended up taking the gas and said, it doesn't matter because we're all going to die. There was another story of a well-known guy who actually owned our grocery store at the time. His name was Albert Frank. He was downriver with his family. When he drove back into town, he reportedly saw women and children in the street screaming and crying, and he stopped his car, got out, gathered them up, and brought them into one of the main street businesses to try to get them calmed down. So there were all these confused conversations happening. People really didn't know.
How did it begin to become apparent that it wasn't an actual alien invasion?
I read in the Concrete Herald that it really was the next day before people were kind of laughing about it, but at first it wasn't funny at all. Many people were panicked.
Do you have any other sense of like what it was like for those folks to discover that they had kind of been fooled?
You know, some people were mad. And other people were just, you know, they were still trying to figure out what had happened. They still didn't believe it. The other thing that was happening at that time, obviously, it was right before World War II broke out. And there were a lot of fears anyway. And so people were really paying attention to the radio and really listening to what was happening elsewhere in the world. And so a lot of people were really on edge anyway. In fact, I did hear that people actually thought it was the Germans coming. It wasn't the Martians after all. But here's the weird thing. I also have read a lot of people looking back now and saying what really it was about the media and about how newspapers blew it all up as a way of saying you cannot trust radio.
I never thought of that. They were big competitors at the time.
Big competitors, and because radio was really new on the scene and taking away some of the advertising dollars from the newspapers, they took advantage of this story to prove that you better not listen to the radio for your news because they just couldn't be trusted. And I just looked at the November 1st edition of the Concrete Herald has an article on the front page about the fake news and about the radio broadcast and how much it scared everybody.
And that got picked up elsewhere, too, right?
Oh,
I mean,
yes.
Wasn't it in the New York Times?
Yes, it was in the New York Times. It was on the front page of the Boston Globe. You know, I've read articles about how this was the beginning of the people losing their faith in the media, because all of a sudden you had to be very careful what you believed. So I think it really did set us up for some real changes in the way we listen to media. But here, when you had so few choices, and it was so long ago, it's really hard to imagine that you wouldn't have believed it. You know, it was the first time anybody had ever heard of this little tiny town in the Pacific Northwest. It was just a very odd coincidence.
Well, Val Stafford is proprietor of the Concrete Theater, as well as head of the Concrete Chamber of Commerce, Woman About Town. Thank you so much for sharing a little bit of Concrete's history with us.
I'm very happy to. Thank you.